The first lesson this morning is taken from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. By this we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees their brother or sister in need, yet closes their heart against them, how does God's love abide in them? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. The word of the Lord.
Stand as Jacob reads for us the gospel reading.
The Lord be with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keep them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and manifest myself to them." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, they will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me." The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Where you're standing, let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence here with us this morning. And we pray that you would lead us to the truth who is Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Please be seated. I saw a news story the other day about a woman who received a call from her son. This was in Manitoba. And her son was in distress. He needed help. But as the conversation progressed, the woman began to be suspicious. The man sounded exactly like her son. He used words and phrases that were what her son would use. But there was something a little bit off about the conversation, and eventually the woman hung up and called her son back. And he said, "That wasn't me. I haven't been talking to you." His voice had been taken or recorded at some point, and AI had been used to create a fake of him that was almost completely convincing. It's an alarming story, isn't it? Our world has come to a place where it is increasingly difficult to discern what is true and what is real. The incredible abilities of technology and the advances of AI mean that convincing fakes are more and more possible. And the free spread of information through the internet means that misinformation is also rampant. Phrases like fake news are now tossed around regularly. Truth itself seems to feel optional. Take it or leave it. Believe it if it feels good or if it suits you. Deny it if it doesn't. And all of this leads to discord and fear, anger and frustration. Beyond that, there's the very real question of how each of us perceives the world differently, with our own experiences and circumstances, our upbringing and our values, everything that lends to us seeing the world in a unique perspective that is ours alone. And this is a gift that we can share to others, giving nuance and context to facts. But it in turn has led to the claims that truth is more personal and less absolute. We have to live our truth, is the common claim. And it's a yearning for authenticity, to live whole lives, to not be fractured within ourselves, to give words to the experience that we ourselves know. As followers of Jesus, what are we to make of all of this? What is truth? And how do we live lives of integrity and truth, especially when it feels increasingly difficult to even discern what the truth is? We're focusing in our sermon series right now on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And over the last number of weeks, we've been getting a bigger picture of who the Holy Spirit is and the work that he does through creation, through inspiration of artists and leaders, through speaking God's word to the prophets. Last week, we caught a hint of a new way to understand the Spirit of God as Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God and born of water and of the Holy Spirit. The picture throughout the Bible is slowly growing clearer of this third person of the Trinity. And in our reading from John this morning, Jesus uses two titles for the Holy Spirit, titles that I think can bring us encouragement and help as we navigate an increasingly complicated world. So let's back up and get a bigger picture of what's going on and how this can relate to our lives. When we pick up our reading from John's Gospel this morning, Jesus and his disciples have just finished eating the Last Supper that he will have before his death. He's washed their feet. He's broken bread and shared wine. And he's given them a new commandment that they love one another as he has loved them. And then he told them that one of them is going to betray him and another one is going to deny him and that he is going to be leaving them, going and preparing a place for them. And the reaction, understandably, is anxiety. Not only is their fellowship going to be broken with one person denying and one person betraying, but their whole world has been wrapped up around Jesus and his mission. He's been their leader and their helper, their friend and their guide for 3 years. And he's guided them and modeled life for them and shown them what it looks like to live as citizens of this new kingdom, a kingdom where God is at the very center. And it's been an exciting time, culminating in what they thought would be the overthrow of Roman rule in Jerusalem. But now he's told them that he's going away. The teacher is leaving the students, and the students do not feel prepared for it. How will they live? How will they know what to do? How will they survive without the comfort of his presence with them? And here's where the two titles come in, because here Jesus is finally ready to introduce them kind of formally to the third person of the Trinity. John 14:16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. People sometimes ask me what my favorite Bible verse is, and I'm always kind of stumped because there's a lot of Bible verses I like, but none of them has dominance over every other one. They all just seem to be right in this, in a certain time, in a certain place, and it changes from season to season which one I love the most. But as I've been dwelling in this verse, John 14:16, it's come to be a hot contender. Because it's an amazing little verse for four reasons, I think, and I'm going to share these reasons because I think they offer hope and encouragement for the task of living faithfully in our broken world. First is the word helper. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. If you were to open up a different translation of the Bible than the ESV, which is what we use here on Sunday mornings, chances are you might find a different word here. He might give you, or he will give you another counselor or an advocate or a comforter. You probably know the concept of untranslatable words, how a word in one language can hold so much nuance and color and flavor that there's no one equivalent for it in another language. My favorite is the Dutch word gezellig, which I'm sorry if I pronounce it wrong, I don't actually speak Dutch. But to my best understanding, this is a warm, comfortable feeling that you get when you're curled up in front of a fire with a book. Or maybe it's the group of friends out on a patio having a drink together. Or the vibe of the pub around the corner, or a song, or the moment with a good friend as you're lying on a blanket under the stars, sipping tea and sharing life together, which actually happens to be how I learned the word, because I was lying on a blanket with a Dutch friend, and she was like, boy, this is gezellig. I said, what does that mean? And it seems like this word paraclete, this Greek word that is translated helper in our reading, is maybe such another word. Because the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives is so nuanced, so full of color and flavor, so many things all at once. It's possible that the author John, in writing this, had only one idea in mind as he was writing it. But I think that it was the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that led him to use a word that had multiple meanings. Because the ambiguity holds so much richness for us. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete, the helper, the one who comes alongside us to give assistance, helping us in our weaknesses, giving us strength and courage for the task. It's the role of CAA, roadside assistance, bringing us all the resources we need to get back on our feet and continue on our journey. The helper, just a call away. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete, the comforter. He's the one who comforts us when we are grieving, giving us the strength of his presence in our distress, inspiring a friend with just the right word to cheer us up, or a stranger who offers a hug when we most need it, who sets the perfect poem or reading or song in our path to give us the strength that we need to keep going. The Holy Spirit, the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete, the advocate, the lawyer, the one who is fighting on our behalf, interceding on our behalf, sticking up for us when no one else will. He's giving us the right words. Luke 12, verse 11 and 12 says, when they bring you before the synagogues and rulers, don't be anxious about what you will say, because the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour how to defend yourself, what you are to speak. He's our personal spokesperson, speaking up for us, constantly declaring our innocence by the blood of Jesus, the advocate. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete, the counselor, the one who guides us and shows us the way to go. Isaiah 30 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. The counselor guiding you on the paths of righteousness, helping you to know what is the way that you will fit into the kingdom of God. Which way is the kingdom of God? John 16, verse 13 from our reading today says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And in John 18, Jesus says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will bring to remembrance all the things that I have taught you. He is the counselor, ready for you, there for you. The paraclete, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the counselor. This is the one whom Jesus will ask his Father to send to the disciples. They will be far from alone. They will have this paraclete with them. But then notice the word before paraclete, and this is the second thing that I love about this verse. The Father will give you another paraclete. Another. This doesn't mean a whole separate thing, but another of the same. In other words, the disciples have already had a paraclete with them this whole time. Jesus is the paraclete. 1 John 2 says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that word advocate is paraclete. We have a paraclete with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus is the helper who comes alongside us through his Spirit given to us. He's the comforter who comforts us in our distress. He's the advocate who pleads our case for us. The counselor who guides us and shows us the way to go through his Spirit given to us. Jesus is all these things because the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, is the Spirit of Jesus. Paul in Philippians says, I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus, this will turn out for my deliverance. The Spirit of Jesus dwelling among his disciples and among his people, offering all the wisdom and the love and the help that he ever did. I love how New Testament scholar Craig Keener puts it. He says that in the Holy Spirit, God shares his heart with his people, just as he shared his word through the prophets. The disciples are not left as orphans. They will have the very Spirit of Jesus living in them, come to them at Pentecost in fire and in love and in fierce joy. Another paraclete. The third thing that I love about this verse is the phrase that comes after helper. I will ask the Father and he will send you another helper to be with you forever. What comfort is in those few words? This is not a spirit who comes and goes based on our whims or how hospitable we're feeling. It's not a spirit who wanders off or leaves us when we most need him or turns his back on us if we happen to commit a most grievous sin. If we invite the paraclete in, he is in it with us forever, advocating for us, encouraging us, teaching us, and guiding us. He is a gift given forever. We may not always feel that way, but we have been promised that it is true. The Bible says it is God who has put the seal in us, his seal in us, and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee, the Spirit in us as a down payment, assuring us that we belong to God and that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from him. And my friends, in a world that is upside down and topsy-turvy, when climate change carries off small Swiss villages unexpectedly, and sets the prairies on fire, both of which happened this week, When the global political situation is scarier than ever and personal rates of anxiety are just skyrocketing. When the costs of living are soaring and everything about our normal existence feels precarious. What a truth to hold on to. We have the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, our Helper, our Advocate, our Comforter and Friend living in us. And He will never leave us. We do not need to go through any of this on our own. We have the best guide of the universe because He created the universe. And He is living in us, just longing to pour out more of Himself in us. And finally, we come to the fourth thing that I love about this verse, although technically it jumps into the next verse. And that's the second title that Jesus uses for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. What is truth? Jesus said it just a few verses before our passage picks up. I am. I am the way and the truth and the life. What is truth? It is a person. It is Jesus. He is truth embodied. And the Holy Spirit is His Spirit living in us and guiding us to Him, to the source of life. Yes, there are absolutely small truth or small t truths in our world. Grass is green, unless it is brown because you haven't watered your lawn. But beyond all the small truths, the one truth that we can hold on to as an anchor in our world is Jesus. Jesus, whose work on the cross showed us how deeply each of us is loved. Jesus, who has made His home in us and has given us His Spirit as a guarantee. Jesus, who is constantly revealing Himself to us through His Spirit who lives within us. Jesus is capital T truth, the most beautiful, glorious truth that we can ever know. And He has told us how to live. And He has shown us how to live. In John 18:37, Jesus says, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to My voice." And what does Jesus' voice say? What is His primary command? If you love Me, you will obey Me. And obedience is love. Love. Love is the way of truth. A love that is practical and tangible. That lays down oneself for the other and cries out, "Father, forgive them," from the cross. 1 John 3 in our reading today says, "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother or sister in need and does nothing, how does God's love abide in them? Little children, let us love not in word or talk, but in deed and in truth, because this is how we know we are of the truth. We love." What does this look like? It looks like asking the Holy Spirit in you to give you the strength to be kind after a long day when you are tired and don't want to talk to anyone. It looks like asking the Holy Spirit to be open, to open your heart to forgiveness when you know that you can't open your own heart to forgiveness. It looks like asking the Holy Spirit what the most loving response is to the person standing in front of you who believes differently than you, who disagrees, who sees the truth differently. How can you show them the truth that is Jesus? How can you love them? It's so easy to get caught up in all the small t truths in our worlds and to forget the big T truth, who is Jesus, who is love. Because this is how we know we are in the truth and of the truth. We lay ourselves down for the other in love, just as the truth laid Himself down for us in love. Beloved church, I'm going to leave you with the words of Jesus to His disciples. Words that reflect the beautiful truth of the Holy Spirit's presence and work in our lives. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Because you know the truth, and his name is Jesus, and his spirit is living in us, a gift for all time. Thanks be to God.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.